Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, joined by my co-host, Mike Crisay, Mike McGoy. What up, fellas?
What's up? What's up?
We missing Chris right now. He's going to hop in on the second half of the pod. He's indisposed, hopefully looking at some charts, watching floor prices. Who knows? But yeah, this week, as always, interesting things taking place. I feel like the big elephant in the room right now, and I hate to start it off with the NFT bros.
We're getting right to it.
Go ahead. It's nothing else to talk about.
These are like blatant lies.
No, I'm lying. I digress on that, but yeah. It is a... Go ahead, Jason.
Moonbirds are the biggest play in NFTs right now. We got a boost of $300 million worth of liquidity out of fucking nowhere. Nobody could trade or sell, buy NFT seemingly a couple weeks ago. Everybody was illiquid. And Moonbirds came out of
not
nowhere.
True.
Right. Not true. But that was the some of the lies and sentiments being spread around the internet. But
yeah,
basically Moonbirds came out of nowhere and became a blue chip NFT on a level of not all the way up to Bored Ape yet, but the floor price is what, 30 ETH, Mike, now?
36.
36 ETH
is the nearing. It was nearing 39 a little earlier, so it's fluctuating. It's Moonbirds by Proof Collective, so it's a collective of individuals. I believe they have a podcast. But they have a financial network ecosystem within the crypto community, so Moonbirds is their second NFT token project. The Proof Collective project is at like 100, and it surpassed Bored Ape at 120 something, or if it's not, hasn't surpassed, it's right there at 100 and something ETH per token. Yeah. So Moonbirds is, the token represents you having access to the financial network that is the Proof Collective. The longer you hurt, the longer you hodl it, which they're referring to as nesting, there'll be benefits for that, probably in the form of some type of coin that's airdropped.
Right.
I mean, it's, I had an opportunity to buy it.
So yeah, so tell us your story, because I, from what I hear, they minted at 2.5 ETH.
Yeah, it was a raffle.
Okay, so yeah, so tell us how did you find out about it? How would someone find out about it before the mint? And what was the sentiment before the mint and the reveal around the project?
Chris had sent the project to our other group chat probably a month ago.
Shout out to the other group chat.
Yeah.
Shout out.
That I'm not in.
Yeah. Mike's not in that one either, but it's mostly NFT. It's all NFT talk. So
oh, okay.
Wow. Oh, wow. Mike, you didn't even realize he wasn't in that one.
Yeah. I didn't realize I wasn't even in that one also.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
But Chris sent it. I believe the Proof Collective NFT at that point was maybe like 20 ETH, or like it wasn't as substantial as it was now. And honestly, like, it's a project that if it wasn't for Chris, wouldn't have been on my radar, because I was so kind of like Azuki craze.
Right. You were really high on the beans and Azuki.
Yeah. Which I still am.
Yeah, you was high on beans, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all right. I have I traded a bean to buy a Mirakami seed, so as well. So I have a bean in Mirakami.
We'll get to that in the NFT corner. Let's focus on Moonbirds.
Yeah, so
what the fuck is this then?
we just talking about the Moonbirds, because we want to get to the broader NFT conversation and what Mike's getting into and the things that he likes in a few minutes.
Yeah, so the Moonbird project, you have to enter a raffle, which I never really do, because I'm not like the bot, the email bot, wallet address bot guy, you know? So I'm literally answering like 1 to 3 wallets with the hopes of being, you know, very slim chances. Not to say that's impossible, but so whenever I see like raffle, I'm initially not really engaged. But people entered the raffle, won the raffle. I mean, people were complaining about, I mean, those who kind of like knew, like what I guess it represented in terms of utility, like, and looking at like the Proof Collective's floor price, you know, at that time and kind of like leading up, you know, if it's 20-30 ETH, like you're like, well shit, 2.5 ETH, if we're kind of like just thinking about it in the secondary project within the ecosystem, you know, 2.5 might at least be like 7 to 8 ETH, you know. So I think just from like those like logistics and kind of risk to reward, that risk to reward thought process, I think the people that minted it like felt really comfortable paying 2.5 ETH. I wasn't liquid 2.5 ETH. You had to have 2.5 ETH to enter the raffle. So that would have meant I would have had to like liquidate some things to have that in my wallet at that time too. Mm-hmm. Or just like hold off on some purchases.
Right.
That I was, you know, had my eye on, but so the raffle happened. initially that first day. So I looked at it. It jumped up to like 6, 7, 8 ETH the first day. And then we were in my group chat and I was like, I had the idea of like, should I floor two of my beans to cop a Moonbird? I didn't have enough support in the chat to do it.
So he putting this on the chat, huh? I wish Chris was here to defend himself.
No. It's nothing. No, it's not defending it, but we're talking about $30,000.
Right.
You know, it's like, those two beans is like 5 ETH, over 5 ETH each. I'm flooring that. I'm copping something for 8 ETH.
Yeah.
So it's not, and you know, I'm not a whale.
Right. No, it's a big play. It's a big deal. It's a big,
yeah. So
a big move to
I'm
make.
Like, damn, like, and I'm like Azuki. Like, I fuck with Azuki, like the project and whatever, all that they're doing. So I'm like, well, it just wasn't enough support. But yeah, it was a thought.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like without me even knowing like the full, you know, kind of like details of like what's even like this token represents within their ecosystem. But I'm like, I'm just looking at it from a number side and analytically, I'm like, if the kind of like native project is, and at this point it was like 80 ETH, proof was 80 to 90 ETH,
mm-hmm.
and Moonbird drops, and this is at 6 to 8 ETH, I'm like, it's a good bet. I don't know what it's going to do,
right.
But that would mean I'm exiting out of these other positions that I'm highly convicted in.
Right.
And within that 3 days, man, tough to watch something go from 7 ETH that you thought about buying to a 40 ETH floor.
Yeah.
With parabolically.
It's, right.
It just went.
Yeah. It literally
like, it 2x every day. It 2x every day. Like it,
yeah.
8 ETH, and the next day 16 ETH, 20 ETH, 25 ETH, 30 ETH, 36 ETH. There was a couple buys for 200 and something ETH today.
Mm.
That raised the floor price.
Right.
But this is like really big, like internet nerd money. Like this is like, so, I almost got lucky and made a good move and got in and rode that wave.
Yeah.
But
we gotta hit one of these, y'all. I feel like this has happened to us in a lot of different ways. And I feel like it's like that that arcade game where the it's like a little circle that the dot is going around, you're trying to stop it on the dot, and it's always like one off or two off. Like I feel like we keep getting hit with those, and it's not to say that, you know, cats aren't holding dope things, whether it's coins or NFTs, but for whatever reason, it's whatever the thing that moons is, it seems like it's so hard to catch. And I'm just also interested to be in those communities and see what the vibe is about, you know?
Well, that I think, you know, and Moonbirds is a perfect example of, you know, how we talk about utility and like the art is just the wrapper of the technology, the ecosystem, and the utility of like of that and what you gain access into. Because these are high profile crypto traders and portfolio guys that are all in this project. So it's like you said, it's like, what is it like to be next to those people? What kind of alpha are you getting? Like these, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to ask, just from, you know, beginning noob perspective, newbie perspective, outsider looking in, what utilities do these does this one particular product offer?
I think from what I know of it, and that was probably a bigger issue why I didn't just pull the trigger on my own, because I didn't really like do a deep dive on the project, honestly. Chris sent it, but from my understanding and like outsider looking in, I would equate it to if you were in the same group chat as like some of the best metals traders or like stock traders or like those blue chip kind of like players.
So what you're telling me is this is essentially like a monetized or even a fractionalized version of like a page for a Telegram group.
Yeah, I mean, all of them are kind of. It just depends, the groups differ in alpha or like information and kind of like the direction of the information. I think proof, from my understanding, is more like Azuki is more like art and culture, right? And proof is more like financial, Web3 kind of like oriented. So it's not really about art. It's not art.
So this is taking like a huge step from where we were with the $39.99 Ian Bellina, like getting his kind of financial advice information and taking it like galaxy brain version. Like that's kind of like the beta 2-year-old, like kind of starter kit, like, you know, dip your toe in the sand. And this is the tidal wave of information that can give you life-changing trades, scenarios, plays, and things like that.
I believe so. Because it's unique in the from my perspective, because it really is like one of those scenarios where the art could have been anything,
and to be fair, the art looks like
anything.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so this is what I'm trying to say, from someone who's not knee deep into this shit. Right, because the majority of our listeners aren't going to be as deep into us or into this as we are. I'm just trying to understand the purpose, right? Like, why am I giving you 30 ETH for this fucking picture of literally a gremlin? It's a JPEG of a gremlin, bro.
I mean, you're now a member of and have access to. I guess it would be the equivalent of a high profile hedge fund information chat.
And I don't think that's worth $100,000 personally.
I don't either, bro. You feel me? I don't either. And I'm someone that has, you know, like, yeah, like we have hedge fund connections and like niggas understand how that shit works. So I'm just trying to understand, if I give you $100,000, what do I gain access to other than a PFP?
Yeah, I think the utility idea behind it is a little overblown. And like, we never actually got to have the utility conversation last week. You know, basically Drifter shoots the photographer who has the Where My Vans Go collection, was on Twitter talking about utility. He made, I forgot the exact type of collection that he made. Was it an open, what's it called, Mike? An open edition? Where basically he was selling, he had a mint, like a 0.2 mint for one picture that he sold as many copies as possible of, for people to basically be a part of his thing. But, you know, some of it was going to charity. I don't know exactly the exact amount. And people were like, oh, where's the utility? And, you know, there's a big thing about utility and NFTs, because people want something other than the picture of the gremlin or whatever it is. And, you know, as an artist, my feeling, you know, has always been what Drifter was saying, like the art is the utility. Like, I made the fucking art. So, you know, and then on the other end of that is the utility that people are talking about, I think, is overblown. Like, you're telling me I'm paying $100,000 for something and I get to be a part of your chat? Like, what?
Right. And that's just my question. You know, I don't have a dog in the race.
But yeah, you don't. Good point.
Oh. Proudly.
But yeah, I mean, I guess. But in the same breath, I pay $70 a month to be in a Discord, a private Discord that has given me well over $70 a month return. So that's right. So what are you saying, Mike?
That's $800.
Yeah, a year.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Compared to fucking $100,000.
They might be giving out those types of returns. It's not impossible. Those types of plays. I'm not. Is that impossible?
No, not at all. I just would like to see where it's been done at before.
Yeah.
Successfully.
What's been done?
Where, you know, like these communities have disseminated information out to their holders, and their holders have then enriched themselves and then also at some point liquidated a profit. That's what I'm talking about.
Guys, we've talked about this before. HelloFresh, our friends at HelloFresh are the best. It makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Look, here's the deal. It's all about the convenience. Not only did the fresh ingredients, might I add, come pre-portioned so you're not overbuying or wasting food, but it's easier than ever to get filling meals on the table in a snap with options like family-friendly and quick and easy recipes. HelloFresh's chefs really know how to diversify the menu with seasonal recipes like salmon limone and pasta primavera, and you can pick your favorites from 50 different weekly options. Skip weeks when you need to, change your delivery day, update your preferences. You can do all of that in the HelloFresh app. As I said, I've done it before, bought it for my family. See, did the pasta primavera not too long ago. We've also done, this is one I really love, the Old Bay buttered up chicken. It is fire. It is flames. Best of all, it is fresh right in your own kitchen. You made it. You've got the ingredients fresh, and it can be a lot cheaper than going out to eat. Absolutely. And also cheaper than buying groceries. So definitely make sure you get up on this HelloFresh train. Go to HelloFresh.com/BOM16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
So let's jump to Mike's NFT corner while we on the NFT topic. Mike, what else has been going on in the NFT world that you've been peeping other than the Moonbirds?
I've been pretty head down on my Azuki beans and the Mirakami flowers, man. I've weeded out kind of like the smaller projects, and that taking up, you know, a lot of my energy, and kind of just been allocating my liquidity towards like bigger stuff that I see as like blue chip or just like, you know, high conviction projects like that. So
talking about the Mirakami bean, is that what you said?
Mirakami seeds. Takashi Mirakami seeds. One of the biggest contemporary artists of our time.
So
as an NFT project.
And this is separate from CloneX?
This is separate from CloneX. Everyone that had a Mirakami CloneX had a whitelist spot.
Mm-hmm.
To mint. The Mirakami mint was pretty interesting because a lot of it got bodied. The whitelist got bodied pretty heavy. So there was some rumored to be a lot of people that got multiple whitelists and kind of came up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like on some sneakerhead bot shit.
Oh, wow.
So the Mirakami seed, I think, was at its highest point, was trading at around like 12 ETH. And then it had kind of consolidated to the like 6 to 8 mark. And then public mint happened a couple days ago and the floor price dropped to 4 ETH.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't liquidate fast enough, so I missed that price point entry. But, you know, I got in like kind of like shortly after that.
Okay.
So it's hard to celebrate my over 2 ETH profit right now when Moonbirds is,
yeah, when you know, couldn't have profited 30 ETH.
Yeah, but still good. I mean, the Mirakami shit, I don't really have like any type of projection for that. Like he's super engaged in creating something unique within the space, and he's also one of the premier artists' intellectual properties of the century. So like I don't think there's any type of like number that I could put on a Mirakami NFT project.
Right.
And that's the weird thing for me listening again to the outside in. It's like you would think naturally that the Mirakami would be at 35 ETH right now. And this one mm-hmm. project from someone I've never heard of before would be at, you know, whatever, 3 ETH or whatever the Mirakami is going at. And so yeah. If you have someone who is new to this space and they're asking you, why should I get, you know, this fucking, this Moonbird mm-hmm. as opposed to the Mirakami? Sight unseen or not knowing anything about anything. I think naturally we would all say, like, get the Mirakami. Right.
I would direct them there for sure.
Right? Like 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, for sure. I would, even with what has unfolded within the last 3 days, I would still tell people to buy Mirakami because it's less of a speculative, like, trajectory. Yes. Yeah. Of a, you know, like it's inevitable that it's going to like go up, in my opinion. Yeah. From what I've seen in the space, being a, you know, a collector and like a spectator and a patron to the space, the proof shit, it takes a little bit more of a understanding of what's going on to kind of like see between the lines on that. I've seen it, but I wasn't 100 on it.
Yeah.
But I knew it represented, like that art is just the art, but it represents something far more that people find valuable within the space.
And, right.
Which is access, and access to a certain group of people that have access to a certain type of information.
So real quick, we want to introduce a special guest. Likewise, happy
yes,
birthday,
God.
Brother. What up, God?
What's good, happy, fellas?
Happy birthday, champ.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations. Another, no, today's his birthday.
Oh, whoa.
Yep. Birthday yeah. pod.
What a yeah. Dude.
Yeah, I'm up there. I know I'm getting old, and I was asking for German chocolate cake and butter pecan ice cream. I was like, that's some old nigga shit.
Oh, man.
Butter bro was born in the 80s fire, with that bro. Request.
Hey, yeah, man. Yeah. That's an 80s nigga right there.
For real.
Hey, welcome back to Crypto Bros, bro.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. You know, I always want to tap in with y'all when it's when y'all talking that talk.
Yeah, man. Mike was knee deep in his alpha on the Moonbirds and the Murakami NFT collection. Are you in the NFTs at all?
Man, not as much as I should be, man. Like, I've been talking to my boy about, like, getting in these Discords and hitting these white lists up. And, like, he's deep in it. And there's a lot of collectibles. There's a lot of, like, NFTs that I feel like I kind of waited too late to get in on.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to find that new one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what we hear chopping it about, you know, for the most part. Mike and then the homie Chris, who's usually on the pod with us, they got a chat. You know, we got a chat. They got multiple chats. They got a DAO. They buy NFTs together. They know about all this shit, you know, so that's what we do.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to be a sponge today, man, because I'm still like – I've been doing actually like swing trading.
Yeah,
with certain assets, but lately I just been kind of holding. So like I still got the old faithfuls. I jumped in on Luna pretty early, so I'm kind of good there. I'm in a good position there. I'm just looking for some like new entries, and I feel like NFTs might be that space where I might see some bigger returns. So
all right. Yeah,
talk to Mike. Hey man, look.
I'm late to the party, bro.
I'm gonna tell you what it is, man.
Talk to
me. I had to make a decision, bro, because it's hard to split your time in between, like, you know, the token trading and the NFTs or the swing trading and shorting and longing shit. So I have a couple coin positions, but I'm in NFTs.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
my biggest possible return on a coin, I've doubled that in one NFT trade, getting in the right project.
That's crazy.
Like, you know, and I do art, bro. Like, I understand art. Like, right. So I understand the space from, like, a visual perspective first anyway. And, like, that's... You know, we've talked about this before. So it was just a no-brainer. Like, if I can use that kind of like skill set to identify great projects with high yielding interest.
Yeah.
In that, which I have, like, it's like a no-brainer. And, you know, the point that I'm at right now is just like, man, I'm just trying to get to like the 100 ETH type plays. Like, like, you know, like I have like enough in a couple different projects where I'm like not, you know, I'm not trying to, these not like little plays. So it's like, right. That's what I was just telling Jason and Mike is like, I've kind of like exited kind of like most of my like small plays and just I'm in kind of like
all in. One.
I'm all in on like bigger high conviction plays that I think is like, okay, I think this 5 will turn into 30 or,
yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying? Or this 7 could turn into 21 within the next couple months instead of like trying to make these quick flips and like, which is cool, but it's just harder for me like to stay on like multiple projects. It's like, I've kind of like given up on that and I've come to the grips that I'm going to miss some good plays. But I need to make the plays that I feel like really good about and hold them because, like, yeah, have you heard of Azuki?
Nah.
So it's a Japanese. It's gone already, my nigga. The floor is at 26 ETH. I bought it in at 1 ETH. I minted it. I sold mine for 20 ETH out of 15 ETH floor. A month later, the floor goes to 35 ETH. So mine, I basically could have doubled that if I would have just held it. But it's hard to it's very difficult to take that ride up
to kind of gauge when it's going to kind of
And it was like it was a purchase that I split with my boy, so you know it's two brains on it, and like if it was up to him, we would have sold that motherfucker at like 5E. But
oh shit!
So you know we hodled it pretty well, but my whole thing is like the fastest way to the destination is in a straight line. So
I like that. I got a quick question. You can pause there. So there's people out there that buy at the top with these NFTs and you sell to them.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't buy tops.
No, I know you don't, but I'm saying like
I can't afford tops anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it's a wise move to buy at the top. Like it's you catch it and you mint them early when they're before like they're one ETH and you hold on to it, they accrue value. And your one ETH done turned to, like you said, 20 ETH. And then somebody who's kind of new in the space will buy there. They will buy their NFT there because they don't want to miss out because they might think it'll 2X, right?
Well, I mean, yes. Or like there's people that I think those buyers are just kind of like, that's like a different level of trader.
So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples and I try them and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox.
ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Mm-hmm. That happened with me. I jumped in on that Matrix bullshit, man. I mean, I ain't put that much in, but I bought like three of them hoes, and the movie just kind of bombed, and it just so did NFT. I was like, oh man.
Wait, you bought some Matrix NFTs?
Yeah.
Oh damn. Yeah, I think niggas is still trying to figure out how to make this shit work for like official like movies and music and like the big motherfuckers. It's like really like. It's low key. The best part of it is like the unknown motherfuckers is the ones who's winning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My homie Jacob Rochester just collabed his art shit on the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious as how that's going to work. Cause he's supposed to send me some NFT through my MetaMask.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with that, but yeah. I don't know. There's collectors in all these spaces, but you're right. It'd be the ones that just come out of the blue. Like, damn, there's a Dobies one I just seen. Dobies NFT. I don't know anything about that one, but I'll be following Bad Luck. He'd be all in it too.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, it's an emerging space. And then another big part of it is like airdrops. You know about airdrops and all that?
Yeah.
So Mike with his Azuki, like he got airdropped. Not a coin. Well, it's technically a token, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You could explain it, Mike.
So Azuki is the main project, and then all the Azuki holders got airdropped what was called a bean.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have like kind of like this garden type of concept, and like whatever. So and then if you held like a bean, I sold my Azuki too early, so I didn't get a bean for free. So the beans are like trading at 5 ETH right now. So through holding a bean, they airdropped you like some non-tradable tokens right now, like 5,500 like beans DAO tokens. We don't know what the price discovery of those. There is no price discovery of those tokens or utility for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, you know, as the story unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I will say that, you know, just because, like, you know, how you were talking about like the Matrix, and just obviously the Matrix is like a strong intellectual property, like within the real world, like a crazy film trilogy and franchise.
Right.
But I think like the what people kind of like don't understand at this point is like, just because you have strong IP in real life, that doesn't mean that IP is like carries over into like the crypto communities and
right
to that to a whole another demographic who has a totally different set of like standards of what they value. And it's like, not to say that they don't value the Matrix either, but the reason why someone like Bobby Hundreds is successful in the space, and his project is doing very well and has because he's been he's naturally like integrated himself in the cachet of his intellectual property within the space, collaborating with Bored Ape and Larva Labs before the project, you know, being vocal and, you know, and a voice in the space. So, and that's why the Hundreds is seeing like this resurgence of, you know, what the brand is and, you know, it has a, like a new life almost. But
Gabe, you know, what would you say about how you like feel about Snoop Dogg and his appeal in the crypto space? Because people in crypto and in NFT world, metaverse, all this shit, like they fuck with Snoop. Out of all of these people, like we saying, like Matrix didn't hit, but Snoop did some shit and they fuck with him.
He's been vocal and he's been collaborative. Like Mike said, like you definitely got to collab with people. And I've seen, he just posted recently, he's doing a collab and he got my homies involved in it too. Like my boy Maroof out of Jersey. Mm-hmm. He's got, he's been in the ETH space with his music through this. I think Sounds XYZ, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the Selection Boys running it up too in Web3. So it's definitely some bags to be had.
It's just about
adapting and integrating somehow. And like Mike also said, like it's a different demographic. You gotta cultivate and you gotta mingle, and you're not gonna just be able to just roll your traditional in real life fans over and think that you're gonna be successful in the space. You gotta really, you know, mingle with those who are already doing good stuff, creative stuff in that space. So,
yeah.
Can someone explain to me while we're in this space right here and have an artist on the line, what is NFT music?
Yeah, so right. Hearing that, dead air.
Yeah, right. Hearing that. And so I'm not sure necessarily what that means or, you know, like if they're creating.
I think a lot of people want to combine the idea and the technology of NFTs with releasing music, and nobody has kind of nailed it yet. And I think probably for the same reason that, you know, Mike and like were basically alluding to, like most of these people aren't actually in the space and they don't really fuck with the space. So it's like they're trying to hit a lick off some shit that they're not really, don't really fuck with, you know?
And they
don't really understand it either. And so I think a lot of it is, if there was an artist or artist, whoever, it could be a fucking manager or a label who understood, like, okay, you know, the principle, Mike, to answer your question, I think the principle, I take it back to the Nipsey and the $100 mixtape. And I think that's kind of the principle of what NFTs and music would be. It's basically like you pay a price to say that you have this token. It could be a free product or a product that costs something. And with the token, you get the music. You know, obviously Nas has tried to do something where he sells his royalties. Kyle did something where he's like was also selling his royalties for his music. And that's a part of it as well. But I think that's a little bit more complex and complicated than maybe your fans would want to get involved in. You know, but it's still a lot. Nobody's figured it out yet. You know, Snoop is trying with the Death Row records and things like that. I think you need a young artist who cares about the space to really try to do it, or not even young, but somebody who's coming out with newer, fresher music that cares about the space to try to really nail it down.
Well, I have another question then for my man, my brother, my birthday champ.
Yeah.
You guys have a project or a couple of projects about to come out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about those?
Yeah, well, I got my own project about to drop. It's called Today Sounds Good, and I produced a bulk of it. I got some really notable artists on there, homies on there. I got the Div on there. I got Fonte on that hoe twice. Sure. I got my boy Devin Morrison, my boy Navy Blue, Terrace Martin on that bitch. My girl Fouché, Maroof on there. Yeah, so it's just like, you know, it's a project that I've been kind of sitting on for a minute, and I'm getting ready to just get that rollout.
Yeah, you done had that them Fonte songs for like a minute. I remember you
played me. He even hit me like, bro, what we doing? Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I'm just waiting on this artwork, man. Make sure it's shit right. But yeah, we're getting ready to release that. And okay. We doing this Div show. We haven't done a show in at least in America since, wow, it's like 7 years type shit. So we getting ready to do that festival the 30th of this month. And we just been building over the last couple of months and just been recording new shit. So we working on the EP there. And yeah, so, I mean, we would love to tie, like, you know, some of these new technological advancements to it. You know what I mean? It's just got to make sense. And like right now, like, I think we need a NFT Music for Dummies booklet or something before we delve into that space. Cause nobody has been able to explain to me in layman's terms how this shit could function with the music. I just been seeing cats running it up.
Right.
Yeah. I think Andre Power or Joe K, one of them posted, like, I don't know if they just streamed like an episode live and it was like ETH donations type shit. And it was like 100 bands worth of ETH just from that 4-hour DJ set. I'm just like, well, this is crazy. Like,
right. And that's kind of what I'm like looking to do, you know, for the video space. And that's why I wanted to collaborate with you guys, you know, putting out one of my first NFTs that's a visual with the paper video, you know, because basically everybody's running it up. But also I want to change it from just being PFPs and do something that's fly, give people the original video, you know, as a piece of utility, you know, and maybe do something with y'all as something with that, as, you know, a possibility. I think a lot of people are just exploring it, but if people see that you really are fucking with the shit, you do podcasts, you're on the shit all the time, like, I think people is more inclined to be like, oh, we gonna run it up for him because we see, or them or whatever, you know, because we see they actually fuck with the shit. And I think that's really what it is like, if you show people like, nah, we fuck with, you know, NFTs, we fuck with crypto. This ain't just no like, oh, we trying to hit a lick on niggas, you know. It's like, and I think a lot of the people in the space can kind of like see the difference in that. And if you have innovative ideas that you're coming with your presentation, you know, I feel like, cause this is just gonna be part one for me as far as like releasing videos. I'm gonna do new shit, old shit, and it's gonna be like a special features collection, which I was telling Mike about. So basically what I'm gonna do is, you know, have content unreleased, film new shit, and present it to the world in the NFT in a way that they can download the content, because people don't have DVDs anymore. People don't have a way to access or keep your content in a high grade way. You know, like, you can't even watch a video unless it's on YouTube. But what if I want you to have the 4K? Nigga, we shoot with all these expensive ass cameras. What if I want you to have the 4K, you know what I'm saying, video I shot with whoever, or the movie short film I shoot that I spent 50 bands on or 100 bands on, and nobody has a DVD player. You don't even have a slot for it. So how else am I going to release content to people in the future? And I think visually, you know, it's an outlet for people who's not on Netflix or don't want to just free release everything. Like, I think artists should be getting paid for everything that they do. That's worthy, you know, that has value to the audience, you know?
All right. I got a question to that. So essentially people are bidding on a music video to own the rights to, or
you would own the copy of it. Like, it would just be like if I was selling you a DVD or anything else. And that's what so you missed the earlier part of the conversation where we were talking about utility and like this other artist, Drifter Shoots. He's like a photographer. He goes like climbs all these like skyscrapers and shit. And he has this collection called Where My Vans Go. And basically he sells these pictures of just, you know, him being on top of the skyscraper, looking down at his vans, and they go for, I think the floor is like 30 or 40 ETH, right? And it's couple hundred pictures. So, right. Yeah. So it's like, so it's difficult to like kind of rationalize it sometimes, because you're like, wait, somebody would just buy a copy of this? Like if I saw that picture in a store, what would it be worth? You know what I'm saying? But when you tokenize it and it's part of a collection, and you kind of make it as if it's like an album or anything else that you would do as an artist, you know what I'm saying? Like, as it's as if I'm creating an art show or a gallery of my art, and you get to own the one of one that I made of that. You know what I'm saying?
One thing that I've discovered being in the crypto space is that there are a lot of rich motherfuckers with crypto money, and they have pissing content every day.
I was
on a stream, on a Twitch stream, and this guy, Mitch Ray, he'll have like donation wars with people, like Patreon people or whatever, who just like just donate to his channel while he's like covering assets or whatever. Like, he'll do TA on assets, and like people, like, it's $20 per request if you want to request like him look at your assets, and he'll break down the TA on it. But then there'll be people who like just watch the stream just for their own enjoyment, and they'll like just donate money or buy his NFTs and shit. Well, one time there was like these fucking crypto dudes in the chat, like, just One nigga was like, threw two bands worth of donations, and then the other dude massive threw like 3,700, and then another one threw four. They was going back and forth. And then the last dude was just like, he just dropped 37 bands, bro. Just a tip. It was a tip war. He threw 37 bands, bro. And I was like, the hot. I'm just like, oh, these niggas just got banked. Right. Like,
yeah. And that's the thing. They be in these Twitter spaces. I don't know if you ever been in Twitter spaces.
Yep, I be in there.
Yeah, but when Blue had his sale, it was kind of like one of those things, you know? And it's exactly
what he ran up for, like, at least 60K. It was like 17 ETH or some shit.
So it's like, if you start one of those Twitter spaces, and you get people who are in, and that's part of being in communities and having NFTs. So it's like, I had a weather report NFT, and I was in their community for, I mean, a few days, but, you know, like, you get all these people following you, and, you know, they start interacting with you, and then you know, they start liking all your tweets and all this shit. And it's a big part of everything, is your exponential growth once you start entering in the communities, and then everybody starts fucking with each other. And it's like, it's a different world, man.
I see it being real genuine on Snoop's part too. Like, he's obviously making money from it, but you could tell he really enjoys it too. Like, being in the space, and like, yeah. I've been seeing people change their avatars up, and it's cool. It's a cool thing to see, man.
Nah, for sure. For sure. But beyond that, you know, it's all about the dollar. And that's why cats is buying these NFTs that don't look like Mike was talking about earlier, Big Mike was talking about earlier, like the Moonbirds looks like just whatever.
Like gremlins.
Yeah.
It looked like, bro, no, like literally like gremlins, bro. Like, they're literal gremlins from the fucking 90s movies, the late 80s movies, dog. They changed the color on them.
Yeah.
So that shit is, what's the floor on that?
It's like 30-some ETH right now.
Oh, my God.
But it just, yeah, you missed the beginning of the pod, like we were talking about. So it came, it minted at like 2.5 ETH like last week or early this week, and it already went from 2.5 ETH that mint to 30 something.
Did y'all jump in on that one?
No, Mike had an opportunity, but
what happened?
Like I was telling them earlier, man. Like, I didn't have an opportunity to mint it, but shortly after it minted out, you know, one of my other chats, we were talking about it, and like, you know, I in the chat, I was like, shit, I'm thinking about selling a couple things to buy this. What do y'all think? And then like, when nobody really responded, the other homie was like, nah, like, just keep the beans. Like, I'm like, fuck you, man. Like, so I'm not blaming them. Like, you know, but I was like, you know, leaning on, because I was telling Jason and Mike, I'm like, nigga, I'm about to sell 10 ETH worth of NFTs to buy something at 80 that, you know, I kind of know about and I have like some type of conviction for, but, you know, I can't really say it's going to go up to like 40 each floor in the next 3 days like it did. So I ended up like not selling my shit. And it doubled every day. So like the next day it was at like 16 each floor from like 8. And then today, a couple dudes bought a couple at like 250 ETH. So like nearing like $1 million or, you know, 750,000. And shit, I'm just like, it's a tough trade not to kind of like cope with not doing.
Especially when you watching it go up in real time, like, oh my God.
No, yeah. And you were like, well, shit, I think I should hop into this. But I mean, that was a big trade. Like, that was a big trade for me because I really fucked with, and I know that the shit that I do have is still going to go up. But like Mike said, it's not only about like, you know, buying, you know, knowing that you're going to, you know, buy into 10 and maybe hit 2, but it's like, you want to go with the highest yielding thing at the moment. If you can identify that, it's not about like me being in love with.
Yeah, because you could have got that off and then bought your beans back and still had 20.
Exactly. So, but you know, like the Moonbirds is like, it's already within, you know, by the time the Moonbirds shit dropped, because that was the second drop of the Proof Collective, who's like they're like an NFT financial crypto collective. They have another like token just to like be a part of that it's 139 ETH right now.
Oh shit, just to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I think like pre Moonbird it was like 80 ETH, but it was as low as shit, 19, 20 ETH maybe like a month ago, a few weeks ago. So
NFTs are single-handedly holding up the Ethereum
market.
You know, yeah.
Nah, absolutely. Facts though.
Yeah,
facts. Hey, but I really believe if it weren't for NFT projects and the explosion of NFTs over the last like 6 to 7, 9 months, I see Ethereum probably being like 1,300, 1,500.
Yeah, I agree.
It's definitely a funner way to launder your money. I'll say that.
Yeah,
into report losses on capital gains, bro. Yeah. Like we see it all the time. People watch trade. People are selling their NFTs back to themselves at a loss.
Mm.
Like it's like, bro, it's like a no brainer to like operate within it. Like not just from like a yield point, but like even from I don't know.
I know where you're going.
Right. Wait, we picking up. But yeah. Agnes is over there, like with the hand across the throat, like don't let up on that alpha, big dog.
Like it was a tough trade. It's tough to look at that today.
But there'll be more though, right?
Hey, there's a play every day. There's a play every day. We come on this show every week, bro.
Yeah.
And there's a story about something that we missed, that moon or some shit. We've been having these combos since Dogecoin. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Since Shiba.
Yeah. There's
I could have got in on Shiba early, man, and I didn't. I just was watching it go up.
Yeah, man. Let's talk some coins, man. Let's talk some other stuff, man. Yeah. Mike, where are we at? Like maybe we could. What's on the agenda?
Really quickly. Ahead, no, really quickly. I just wanted to see if you guys saw who's this? Morgan Stanley. Okay, this came out, I think, this week. Said Bitcoin's Lightning Network is more practical for small payment than debit cards.
I saw that.
Morgan
Stanley said that.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously they see the layer 2 is coming. Layer 2 solutions are en route. And that is supposed to, at least if for nothing else, make crypto, you know, more easily accessible and also usable for payments. Because right now it's pretty difficult. So I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that, actually.
Shit, I mean, I think that's, it's crazy who said it, you know, more than anything. That's what stands out to me. Morgan Stanley, basically, you know, fucking legacy banks on some, yeah, we fucking with crypto shit. And not only that, we're pushing crypto. We're, you know what I'm saying? So that's, it's a complete 180 for what all of these legacy billion and billion dollar systems were about. And so, you know, that means that they're long Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Long story short.
Or trying to, or they're downstairs creating their own. Just right. Like, you know, JP Morgan and Chase was, the guy was literally upstairs at a conference shitting on crypto, downstairs having a meeting with his people creating their own version of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the what is it called? Like the 51 fake? I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a lot of these corporations are already in positions.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the reason why it'd be short and long. That's why the reason why sometimes it'd be dipping. I think it's a low key controlling the market a little bit.
Yeah. All right. I mean,
let's talk about that. Now we're in my area. You know?
Because, of course, the market is being controlled. They know when them dips is about to happen.
Of course. And I'll take it one step further where it's like, so this is going to bring me to the next topic, actually. And I want to hear you guys' opinion on Australia being the first country, I believe, to do the spot ETF on Bitcoin. Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? What do you think?
I think it's still good. I think it's still good. You know, El Salvador, you know, they tapped in heavy. Australia doing the spot ETFs, yeah, that's definitely like, they were already kind of speculating that happening here in the States too. So,
well three companies already tried to do it.
It wasn't approved. They approved the regular ETF, but not the spot ETF.
So can you kind of break down? Can you kind of I'm kind of like illiterate in the ETF space. What is a spot ETF, and how does it differentiate from like a regular ETF?
Take that, Skills.
Oh man. Yeah. Right. He's asking me to explain something that I barely just learned about.
Yeah.
That's the best way to learn it is to
explain
it to someone else.
But basically, the way I understand, hopefully we have a listener who's more educated than me. the way I understand it is that spot is basically the equivalent of like longing something or like long or short something, basically.
It's like the stock market for Bitcoin. Like Michael Saylor was big. MicroStrategy's Michael Saylor's company that he with that, and I think Grayscale Trust.
Yeah,
he bought a lot of Bitcoin. He has it, you know, a lot in his, I guess, reserves for trading. They do it like, you know, like index fund trading, but they do it with crypto. You know, and I always was confused about that because even with like people who buy their crypto or Bitcoin in Robinhood, you don't actually own that particular. Mm-hmm.
No,
coin.
You don't.
I think that's kind of similar to the ETF space where like you're making trades in the market, in the stock market on crypto assets.
On the price, but you don't own the actual coin.
Yeah, that's what I got.
The ETF is like the derivative market. So it's like, okay, so here's a better example, Mike.
The remember gold when I, and the silver.
Yeah, remember when I bought that silver and it wasn't real silver? That's what happened.
Oh man, that is a horrible scenario, my friends.
Yeah,
that so this is bad news.
And this is why I'm asking this, because on the heels of me hearing my man say, well, I'm starting to think that the price is kind of being tampered with in the equities market, I'm like, yeah. And then he says that, well, I think, you know, this ETF could be a good thing. And I'm like, okay. Well, that's how they do the tampering. It's through the ETFs.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, you know, it's been very difficult over the last 8 years of trading precious metals. It's been difficult because you realize that this is an uphill battle, right? Against the powers that be. And it's like, they're not on your side. We all know, just based off of, you know, 2008 alone, gold should be at like $3,000 to $4,000 per ounce. But we're still fighting to get above 2,000 right now because we have traders that trade paper versions of something that's supposed to be a physical metal that comes out of the ground.
Right.
And so you can print way more paper than you can mine gold. Right. And so it's of the understanding that for every 1 ounce of gold, there's roughly 15 contracts to that 1 ounce of gold. So basically they get to sell something, basically leverage themselves up 15 times.
Crazy. Yeah. So that's why the market dumps and pumps.
And that's also why a 3% or 4% or a percent and a half day, if you're levered up 10, 15X, that's a great day for you.
That's why I say I like swing trading, because I like markets that fluctuate.
Yeah.
Because it's good entry positions for if you want to, you know, I guess long. I don't do leverage trading.
Yeah.
But leverage is the devil.
Leverage is the devil. You got to say it with this. Leverage is the devil.
Well, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. You know, we had a great episode. I want to thank my brother, Like, say happy birthday to him again.
Happy birthday, buddy.
His project's coming out. What's the project again?
Today sounds good, man. Look out for it in the next couple months, man.
Good.
Yes, sir. Mike Risse, Mike McGoy, Likewise, I'm Jason Madison. This is Crypto Bros. Thank y'all for listening. We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.